Welcome to Harlow on Healthcare. I'm David Harlow, and I invite you to join me by my virtual hearth as I sit down with healthcare leaders to discuss building the future of healthcare. Today, my guest is Dr. Joseph Nicholson, Chief Medical Officer of Care Allies. Joe was previously SVP and National Medical Director of Cancer Treatment Centers of America, and was previously CMO of a Blues plan. He also helped establish Oklahoma's HIE. Care Allies, a Cigna company, has more than 15 years of experience in delivering innovative value-based solutions driven by provider collaboration that help connect care between patients and providers to improve health, affordability, and patient and provider experience. Dr. Joe, welcome and thank you for joining us.
Well, David, thank you so much for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we are speaking at a point in time when many, many people have received their vaccinations in the U.S. for COVID, and we are at this brink of a next normal, so to speak. We've learned a lot about ourselves, about our healthcare system, about our country in the course of the pandemic. And I'm wondering if you could start us in on that conversation. What have you learned? What are you seeing in your work as a result of the pandemic?
Well, that is a great question, David. And, my brain could go about a dozen different directions with that open-ended question. I mean, there is nothing in my week today that looks like it did a year and a half ago. I mean, you have very few things, and it's interesting how much we've had to pivot almost every element of our business. So Care Allies is very provider-facing in the kind of activities that we do. We physically show up to board meetings. We're in face-to-face interactions with physician leaders in a variety of value-based arrangements across the nation. And so, you know, we have had, like everyone else in this pandemic, really had to learn what's become our new normal of everything, you know, via video conference or phone calls or, probably more emails as a cadence than usual and less face-to-face conversations. But we've done a pretty good job of pivoting into that virtual moment. A lot of teleconferences, certainly specific to SDOH, if I can pivot to that.
Sure. I
mean, what we've seen is a significant widening in that gap between the haves and have-nots. Now, you know, we tend to see that in almost every natural disaster. You pick for a segment like in Texas with a big hurricane, or you name the state that has a natural disaster. Almost always in those natural disasters, that gap between the haves and have-nots is widened. But in this pandemic, it's just become a gulf this huge chasm that's been created, particularly for the Black and Hispanic communities, with disproportionately higher deaths and hospitalizations specific to COVID. I will just stop there for kind of an initial response to that. But, we'll just say there have been far-ranging implications and changes for our company and even the way we do business today.
Sure. So certainly in terms of doing business, and Care Allies is part of Cigna, and you mentioned that you're primarily provider facing. So I'm interested to sort of tie these three constituencies together, the payer, the provider, and the patient population. And, the first reaction to the pandemic that we've all seen is sort of the shift to virtual. Telemedicine, telehealth encounters, video conferencing of all sorts, and telehealth, whether synchronous or asynchronous. But I guess you're talking about sort of the impact on existing inequities and sort of the worsening of existing inequities. And when we talk about addressing social determinants of health, the question is always, Is that healthcare or is that something else? Is that the responsibility of the healthcare system? Is that within the capability of the healthcare system to address? And some folks at the margins have started to address that. Well, let's ensure that there's better of accessibility to affordable housing in the markets where our patients or subscribers live, et cetera, food security. Can you speak to that? Do you see, how does this all connect together? How, when you're ensconced in a payer organization, how do you relate to providers? How do you relate to patients? Where is the connection to social determinants?
Yeah, a great question. And I want to be sure I get to the thing that you led with specific to, whose responsibility, where does it lie? Is it with the payer? Is it with the providers? And I want to be sure to circle back to that. But specific to Care Allies, which indeed is ensconced inside of the greater Cigna organization, which has, many companies housed underneath that brand, our role here at Care Allies is really to drive simplicity in helping provider groups move from that volume to value equation, moving from that fee-for-service per-click world into really executing on the high end on their value-based arrangements with a variety of payers. So we interface with multiple payers, not just Cigna, but but a lot with Cigna groups. But we have many other payers as partners through the physician groups that we serve. They might be under a variety of different legal constructs, could be an IPA, could be an ACO, could be a CIN. We don't own any of them. We help enable these physician groups to create their own constellations of physician organizations to drive those value-based initiatives and contracts through which they serve. So our focus primarily through the patient, through the provider, but make no mistake, we are focused on those patient outcomes that are prototypically woven in contractually into those value-based arrangements. And, we've seen it over and over again. So I did want to address sort of how Care Ally sits and where we sit and that relationship that we have with these value-based focused physician groups. But back to the nidus of the question on, whose responsibility is it for SDOH? I think, David, you're really hitting at the reason we have as a country fundamentally failed to adequately address SDOH.
Because, is that why we have the problem? Nobody can answer whose problem is
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well, I because there's a lot of finger pointing, right? And then there are smaller factions who say, we'll take charge. But I think the true solution lies in a really expanded. I think, for decades, we've been talking about private public partnerships, but this would be on steroids. We need all parties that can help to help. So we're talking the government sector. We're talking private commercial payers. We're talking the community-based organizations that are really the linchpin to closing gaps in SDOH. We're talking about employer groups. I think, we need to move beyond that experiment of SDOH programs in silos to more aggregated, multifunctional units where you've got multiple partners that are playing their part in SDOH to make a difference. And I think that's been what's largely been missing from the equation on a national scale.
So let's get super concrete. Is your organization acting as a convener in any way, or are you working with particular government or private organizations in order to address these issues? What are the next steps? Where do we go from here?
We are doing what we can as an organization supporting provider groups. So where this started for us really was one of our really innovative physician leaders in one of our IPA groups who identified a significant SDOH issue, right? This multiple gaps for the population they served in this, I'll just say, underserved community. And it really became, started as a dialogue between that physician leader and Care Allies. And we began to form the first steps of an SDOH program, little baby steps. And we hired some social workers, we have nurses, we have pharmacists engaged, medical directors, who began to work with this physician group to then partner with community-based organizations in their region to make a difference for their patients, one patient at a time. It started out as a bit of a fledgling pilot. And as it's grown, I just have personally become more and more invested in the topic and have a point of view on how it could be improved on a national scale. But, you know, what I often say in groups, instead of talking about it or talking about the problem, just start where you are, start where you can, even if it's small. And, you know, I think if everyone just sort of adopted, let's do something, then you can find like-minded partners in your community and really begin to move the needle.
Are the programs that you're talking about scalable or replicable, or are they uniquely focused on local conditions in some way?
Yeah, great question. The short answer is it is scalable, and there are a number of CBO aggregators is the bucket I put them in, those community-based, faith-based organizations and communities that are helping close a variety of SDOH gaps. So let's use food banks as an example that sit in the local communities. It does ultimately require that local solution, but some of these CBO aggregators now have national footprints with some are more directory oriented where they just sort of have a list of community-based organizations, metro area over metro area or state over state. And then others actually have boots on the ground. They've created some technology platforms to help accelerate the way you approach SDOH. But this emergence of the CBO aggregators, as I call them, I think is the first step that can help towards a scalable solution for SDOH. But make no mistake, the delivery is at that local level in partnership between, I think the physicians have certainly a role to play, but the community-based organizations really, I believe, are the linchpin to helping cover the gap, the physical SDOH gap in many cases.
If you're just tuning in, this is Harlow on Healthcare, coming to you on Healthcare Now Radio. I'm David Harlow, and my guest today is Dr. Joe Nicholson, Chief Medical Officer at CareAllies. Joe, where is the point of interaction for CareAllies? Where is the leverage that you're able to bring here? Is there data that you can leverage from local programs in order to identify best practices, to scale them, to put to other uses? How do you or how do your provider partners leverage the data out of these efforts?
Yeah, that's a really insightful question and could lead us down a couple of pretty deep paths. I am passionate about the data driving the SDOH solution set. And what I would tell you is for most, and it's the human element, David, I think as much as anything, but most people leverage the data they have in their hands. So for example, provider groups tend to use their EHR data because they have access to it and they created it. Healthcare systems tend to use their claims data because that's the lens through which they often operate. To really get at the root cause, to create really a truly a predictive analytic algorithm specific to SDOH that is meaningful in terms of organizing your outreach activities, I really am a believer that it needs to be multi-source data. And the richer that data set, the more likely you are to find actionable data. And I'm talking about a constellation of data that goes beyond just claims or EHR, but can also include consumer data or even the taxpayer tracked data. That's the taxpayer level data will also give you some insights, but it's multi-source data is truly the driver to help you be more successful in that data analytics approach, which we do have at CareAllies. And just to say out loud, this is not a program we sell externally. This is a program that we leverage for IPA partners that want to make a difference in their communities. And that's how we're leveraging it today is with existing CareAllies clients. It's not something that, you know, we intend to package or try to sell outside of the walls of our existing partners.
Got it. So what you're alluding to is a way of integrating or correlating clinical data with social determinants data, so to speak. And I'm interested in learning more about that. Is it you mentioned demographic or other community data? EHRs can already, I imagine, integrate wearables data, other sorts of sort of near clinical data. But you're really talking about other data types, other data sources. How does that all work together? How do you line all these things up?
Yeah, great question. And the phrase that escaped my mind earlier was that census tract data. So census tract data, right, along with the consumer driven data, is pretty rich data when paired with the claims data and EHR data. And we use that constellation plus a few other ingredients to create our own proprietary algorithm. But, you know, I would say, you know, others are working in that same vein to create their own predictive algorithm specific to SDOH. The key is to simply find the most dense population of SDOH risk with which to outreach. And that's obviously the goal of those predictive algorithms, ultimately, is to drive the workflow for our social workers and non-clinical teams and nursing and pharmacy staff.
Right. So working really to get the biggest bang for the buck, so to speak, in terms of addressing social determinants, just as you would if you were dealing with infectious disease outbreak, for example.
Right. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you're spot on. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, wearables or remote monitoring devices, and certainly, you know, we could travel down that path. I think in my mind's eye, while there certainly will be opportunity and overlap within the context of SDOH, the remote monitoring devices, wearables, et cetera, for me, really fall into the bucket of transformational opportunity inside of case management or disease management. And I think we're going to see a lot of action there on the other side of this pandemic, where there's been just an explosion of, you know, all things remote data collection that have been spawned by the pandemic.
What does the acceptance of this broadened range of services look like from the patient perspective? Are folks interested, open to this, asking you to get out of their business?
Right. It's probably a combination thereof, if we're being honest. And maybe it's in some version of a bell curve if we got serious about trying to pin down all of the different reactions, right, that you might have. But I would say generally, it would be our experience that patients lean into it. And particularly during this pandemic, I mean, there have been so many touching, heartwarming stories that have come out of this SDOH shop, where there was a significant need that was identified. And the patients that connect with the SDOH team that we have here at Care Allies, they are just genuinely appreciative that somebody cared enough to call and check on them and just kind of run through that list of questions. And they're like, well, you know, yes, right. I am worried that I've got enough money to actually have food to eat next week. I mean, it's just amazing the things that have fallen out. And I would just say the tenor overall seems to have been very positive and receptive. The one flag I will throw, David, is, you know, sometimes I think we have leaned so hard into this telehealth audiovisual moment, we sometimes forget that in some of these rural communities or with these you know, folks that are ensconced in this SDOH moment, they may not have a smartphone or they may not have access to Wi-Fi. You know, there are other things that can drive these gaps in behavior, where a well-intended payer or provider or community-based organization is trying to extend a tool to patients that otherwise become meaningless if they don't have access to a smartphone or Wi-Fi, if that makes sense. So I just thought I'd throw that flag.
Sure. There's the perpetual last mile issue combined with the fact that we're talking about, to be frank, in many cases, situations of poverty or extreme poverty, and without the tools that many of us have access to. I'm wondering if we could get super concrete for a moment and talk about sort of what's a great success story. You mentioned Docket and IPA, who you work with, who's sort of a leader in this arena. Whether it's with that IPA or another, what is a great success look like at a local level, at an individual level?
Well, so we would have many to tell. Just when you posed the question, one popped in my head. And I do not have these stats committed to memory, so it's going to be directionally accurate, you know, maybe not 100% accurate. But the one that popped in my head is a story that was the SDOH gap in this case was twofold. One, transportation gap. And number two, it was a combined health education gap. And we had a lady who had, and this is the number I'm not going to quite get right, but in the course of like a 6 or 10 month frame, she had over 70 visits to the emergency department, none of which resulted in an admission. And that individual was flagged as at risk. And I think this one was a referral from a physician into our program from that participating IPA. And when our team walked through the assessment, these things began to fall out. And without going into all the details of that story, the short answer was once transportation was addressed and with some health education, the following 6 months after that intervention, the patient only had 3 visits to the emergency department. So, you know, that would be an example of a concrete intervention. And the soft side of that story is the family who didn't live with the patient, but lived nearby, were so appreciative of my SDOH team making that intervention with their mom. It became a really heartwarming moment by the time you kind of saw all the details underneath the story that I kind of flew maybe a little high over there. But hopefully that gives you an example.
No, that's helpful. Now you're mixing and matching here between sort of the world of healthcare and other worlds, and these other worlds have different approaches to data, privacy, other related sorts of issues. How have you been able to navigate that?
Great question. Again, we have solved it different ways in different markets. I will say that. It really comes down to developing that relationship with those local community-based organizations in many cases. But while I lean into those CBOs as the primary linchpin for gap closure, to say out loud, sometimes that gap can be closed by a referral to, for example, a payer's program that we're aware of, whether it's a Cigna program or another program. Sometimes it can be closed directly by the provider. So it's not always a CBO, but often it is. But you know, I would say it's establishing that relationship with a CBO, and it's leveraging those CBO aggregators that I mentioned before to help not only physically close the gap, but track the gap closure. Again, I'll give you another example using a food bank, leveraging one CBO aggregator that we work with. They have the sophistication. If a patient has a need for food, they go to one food bank who may be able to supply 2/3 of their need, but they may still need, let's say, baby formula or milk. But it's not at that CBO. This vendor has the sophistication to have that CBO reflect back to us that they were able to close 2/3 of that, but a part of that gap was still outstanding. But they can flag that there's another food bank 3 miles away that can completely close that gap. And so, you know, it's really this fandango that occurs between that nonprofit, community-based, faith-based organization and working through, in some cases, a technology platform combined with my team to help close this thing, which is why I opened with, I don't think any single entity, be it payer or provider or government, you know, sector or CBO, you know, none of those four legs of a stool can close this on their own. Almost always it needs to happen in a collaborative partnership.
Great. Well, it sounds like a model that many could learn from. So, Dr. Joe, if you were to wake up tomorrow and find yourself 5 years in the future, what's one thing in healthcare that you would hope or maybe expect to find has changed drastically?
Fantastic question, David. And I'm going to give you two that are directly interlinked. But my real hope would be that not only has this spotlight that's really occurred on this global issue of SDOH, I would hope that what's happened during this pandemic and the spotlight between this chasm that's really been created between the haves and the have-nots, that we will not have lost sight of that. And so it's my hope that 5 years from now, our entire data analytics approach to SDOH has been completely transformed. I mean, you know, think about like an HIE, health information exchange, on steroids specific to driving SDOH solutions. You know, I feel like we're still in the fax age, if you will, of interoperability specific to SDOH solutions. But I would really hope that that would happen. And, you know, for your listeners, you know, I would also say, you know, could we build a national platform that would support a CBO data platform that is no cost to the CBOs, that's nationally integrated? I think something like that could be transformational in space.
Something to look forward to. Thank you. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Joe.
David, you're too kind. Thank you so much for having me today. It's been a real pleasure.
You have been listening to Harlow on Healthcare. Join us at healthcarenowradio.com. Let's continue the conversation on building the future of healthcare together at #HarlowOnHC. I'm David Harlow, keeping the fire going and holding a seat open for you. Until next time.